The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
I could make a segment of just like, just call it Who's Mad Online, and then just have a segment where it's nothing but social media, whether it's tweets or fake Facebook posts or whatever, just people mad about something. And, you know, just kind of give everybody an update on what people are mad at today.
Yeah.
Because it seems like outrage is just always the thing that's going on. But yeah, you could do it off of just social media alone.
What are people triggered about?
Yeah, people are triggered. They, you know, they're sitting there trolling people. Well, whatever. All the fun stuff. But just remember, folks, Twitter is not real. Facebook's not real. Social media is not real. So never take it too seriously, because if you do, it'll ruin your life. Just words of the wise.
Well, that's strong.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, how many times have you just seen things where when you read it on social media, you're like, how is this a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Why are people saying these things? How is this an opinion that people can actually have? But then I say that, but the internet is really great for some great memes and some, you know, GIFs and all that fun stuff too. So, I mean, has its purposes. That's for sure. So, but it's funny because, you know, with the college football national championship that just ended between Alabama and Clemson, obviously we really dove into it yesterday and talked about Clemson's victory, convincing victory over Alabama. And afterwards, people have to come to the harsh reality that college football has officially come to an end.
Yes, it has. Sad but true.
It is. And it's always, college football is one of those things that it feels like it takes forever to finally get here. And then before you know it, it's finally gone.
Yeah.
And it makes it even worse, say, if you're an Arkansas fan, where there is really no redeeming qualities to your season. But it does make you wonder, at what point do people get in basketball mode?
College or professional?
Well, I think college. I think
yeah,
it's more
because around here we pay little attention to the NBA until their playoffs. I think it depends on how good your program is. I think if you're in the state of Kentucky, you've long turned the page to basketball season. If you're in a state like Kansas or Indiana, where basketball is a richer, deeper tradition, if you're in a football state, it's probably not happened yet. Even though your team, like here in Arkansas, the teams, I mean, you could argue the season's been over for many months, but officially it's been over about a month and a half, I guess. Well, quite a month, a little 6 weeks.
It's been five weeks. It's been over longer than that.
But it's been over longer than that since the end of November. So for me, when the Super Bowl's done, I'll fully turn to college basketball, but I'm not missing any Arkansas basketball games. Question is, when do you start watching other SEC games? When do you just start watching college basketball in games that doesn't involve the Razorbacks? I've watched every Razorback basketball game for the most part this year. Not missing that part of the job here, but still some I do anyway. How many Florida games have you watched? How many Tennessee games have you watched? How many Auburn games have you watched that at this point?
Probably none in full, but I have kind of flipped back and forth, paid attention to a little bit, but probably just a few. I mean, just to be honest.
I'm not in the mode where I'm watching college basketball.
No.
And I probably won't get there till February sometime.
When it starts mattering, when the games
we've got just a little bit of football left, and I think it's hard to do two things at once for a lot of fans.
But you feel like, because I like how you mentioned it depends on where you're at and depends on what type of team or program it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel like, or at least I would feel like, the transition would be easier for Razorback fans, especially because of how bad the football team is and how much promise there may be to the basketball team. I'm not saying they're just an elite great team. They're 10-3. 1-0 in SEC play with their first victory on the road, and if they get a victory tonight against Florida, I think that'll also start to really get people on board as well.
They got a chance to exceed expectations this year.
Yeah, and because I think the expectations were, what was it? They picked 10th, I believe, in SEC play.
Correct.
Before the season started. And returning pretty much Daniel Gafford and a little bit of Adriel Bailey, and that's it. I mean, there was just a lot of unknown, a lot of mystery to this team. And with them losing, I think, to Georgia Tech and to Western Kentucky and even to Texas, I mean, this team is just a few points away from being undefeated. And I think if this team was undefeated, just for fun's sake, I think a lot more people would be all in on this team and, you know, there'd be a lot more people excited about it. But they're still just a wait-and-see mode. But I feel like it would be easier to transition, though, if you're a Razorback fan because of how bad the football team was and how much promise there is with the basketball team. You want to cling on to something that can at least hold your attention, that you won't have to watch every single game or go to every single game knowing you're probably going to lose. You just feel like that would be something that fans would hold on to and grab onto and transition a little easier. But I haven't really gotten that from this fan base just right now. Maybe it's because they're still just mad and disappointed from the football season. I don't know.
I don't think Arkansas basketball fans realize, at least amongst the SEC schools, how good Arkansas's program in the league has been the last 3 or 4 years. And really, this game tonight features, now, I don't think it's true this year because we've seen Tennessee and Auburn really emerge. Kentucky's been consistent, but they're not one of the best teams in this league right now. In fact, you could make an argument they're not one of the best three teams in the Southeastern Conference right now.
They struggled against A&M last night.
And it just depends on your agenda. It depends on where you're coming from. It depends on what point you're trying to make, what statistic you want to go to when it comes to Mike Anderson, SEC wins, where it stacks up, and what Arkansas's place is in this league. But when you read through the notes / propaganda that's sent to you concerning this game tonight, you know, it's pointed out, and this is a fact. This isn't an opinion. Arkansas and Florida have ranked second or third in most wins over the last 2 years. Florida's had 25. Arkansas's had 22. The last 3 years, Florida's had 34. Arkansas's had 31. And over the last four, Arkansas's had 44 wins. Florida's had 42. So, amongst the league, Arkansas's been one of the best three teams in the league. Kentucky's been one.
Obviously, yeah.
And then Arkansas or Florida, depending on what time span you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. But here's where it comes into play and why it doesn't feel like that stat is real. Is it just comes down to postseason play. Because Florida has advanced further in the NCAA tournament than Arkansas has. And see, and that's why, because I saw that stat and how great Arkansas's road record is in the SEC compared to other teams, how great they've been the past 4 years. They've been one of the top teams in the SEC when it comes to wins. They've been more consistent, too, if you just look at the total wins and what they've been able to do and all of that. It just comes down to the piece that's missing is advancing into the second weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Because that's all that matters, ultimately.
That's right.
In the sport of college basketball.
That's right.
All that matters is, it doesn't matter if you win your regular season conference championship. Now, the SEC doesn't have divisions anymore. If you win your division, if you play in a league that has that, or if you win your conference tournament. It only matters if you win your conference tournament if you weren't going to get in as an at-large. The only thing people remember now, because it's really honestly the only thing that most fans pay attention to, is did you get in the tournament, number one, and how'd you do it? Did you get to the second weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Did you win a game? Did you win two games? How'd you do? It's the only thing that matters in this sport.
And especially at a place like Arkansas.
And I think there are some things like winning your regular season conference title has more meaning than I mean, if you win like the Big 12 or the ACC.
That's big time.
Regular seat, you're probably a one or a two seed.
Yeah, I don't care much about
it. I don't know off the top of my head, but I'd love to see the last time the regular season champion from the ACC or the Big 12, or maybe even the Big 10, wasn't a one or a two seed.
Probably doesn't happen very often.
No. I think conference tournaments don't mean anything.
No. No. I mean, like you said,
it only means something if you're a bubble team and you win.
Yep. Or if you just win a few games.
Or you flat weren't getting in.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I think everybody would rather be the regular season champion when it comes to
Absolutely.
All of that. And, you know, to kind of play it off of Arkansas, too, this is the thing I bring up and why it's so frustrating for Razorback fans is because every single SEC team, all 13 of them, have made the Sweet 16 at least since you have. Arkansas has not made the Sweet 16 since 1996.
How many have?
13.
Mm.
Every single one of them. But yet, for the most part, Arkansas is looked at as the second, maybe even third, best basketball program in the SEC. Of course, Kentucky being number one. Kind of throw in whether it's Florida or maybe Tennessee or something like that, depending on who you talk to or how you look at it. But Arkansas is always going to be up in there in the top tier. And, but every other team, like team Alabama's made it since you have. Like teams don't even care about basketball. Yeah. They've made it. And that's what's got to be frustrating for Razorback fans. And again, that's why it comes back to what matters the most is making that second weekend. Like if Mike Anderson makes the NCAA tournament this year, be a great year, all things considered. And the expectation that was so low. Razorback fans will be excited. They'll be happy. They'll be like, all right, this is great. But you got to do something in it. Winning one game and then, because you're inevitably they're going to play North Carolina in the second round.
Seems that way.
I mean, it's every single time. Maybe you finally beat them once, but you got to be able to get to that next round, that next level, especially last year, which was really disappointing they didn't beat Butler. You felt like they were a better team than Butler. They didn't play well.
They didn't get out of the first round. I mean, they've had some success getting out of the first round.
Yeah.
But you got to get out of the first weekend.
If you get out of the first weekend, I think that alleviates a lot of pressure on Mike Anderson. It makes a lot of fans start to be a lot more excited about the basketball program because that's really the only thing that is missing from this basketball program right now. It's just a team, a program that made it to – it wasn't about just making it to the tournament. It was about how far you'll make it into the tournament. They want to get back to that. But you can't start doing that, and you can't start having that mentality until you actually do something in the tournament to advance yourself into that second weekend. That's going to be the most important thing.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Welcome in Andrew Spivey of GatorCountry.com, friend of the show. Andrew, appreciate you joining us this morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, anytime, man. And, you know, let's start with Florida because I look at their record. They're sitting at 8-5. And knowing how great of a program Florida has been over the past few years, and they've had its success not only under Billy Donovan, but also under Mike White, when I see that record, it kind of makes me scratch my head and say, hey, what happened? This doesn't seem like a typical Florida team. I expect them to have 10, 11, 12 wins at this time. Just what's overall happened with Florida there in the non-conference slate, and what's led to their record being 8-5 right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a tale of two teams a little bit. You know, it's a team that at times plays great defense and finds a way on offense, and then it's a team who plays terrible defense and can't find a way on offense. It's kind of a little bit like last year where they have a drought of 5 to 6 minutes where they just kind of go cold on offense. They kind of lose their identity, and it's a situation that they're still really looking for a guy to be that go-to scorer. You would have thought it would have been Kayvon Allen or Jalen Hudson, both your seniors, but at times it's been a freshman in Noah Locke or Andrew Demart who've been kind of your go-to guys. They're just really looking for it, and Mike White kind of said that on Monday a little bit when he kind of called out his team besides Kavarius Hayes, Andrew Demart, and Noah Locke. He said, outside of those three guys, you don't know what you're going to get from each guy on practice or on game day.
Andrew, walk us through the conference opener. What happened against South Carolina? Florida had a lead. The next thing you know, it evaporates, and South Carolina, a team that was picked, 12th in the league preseason, has beaten Florida to start conference play. How did that all unfold on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, Florida's up 13 with a little over 10 minutes to go in the game, and you know, looked like Florida was in control of the game. And again, they had that long stretch where South Carolina went on a 13-1 run, and Florida was turning the ball over, was making bad shots, and then South Carolina was just getting easy buckets, and that was the biggest thing. And then towards the end of the game, Kavarius Hayes, with I believe 4 or 5 seconds to go in the game, hits one free throw, ties the game, and Florida plays kind of crazy defense, loses their mind a little bit, and allows the South Carolina defender to get behind them. you know, there was a back and forth of whether it was a push-off or not. But, you know, basketball says you can't let the guy get behind you, and they allow the guy to get behind him in the dunk. But, again, it was one of those mistakes where Florida goes 5 or 6 minutes a game where they can't find a bucket, and they just turn the ball over and allow easy baskets. And that was the biggest thing, is they allowed South Carolina to take over the game by turning them over. And in the first half, they had over 20 points of off of turnovers, and in the second half, they couldn't do that.
Speaking with Andrew Spivey of GatorCountry.com right now on the Morning Rush. Andrew, the player that a lot of Razorback fans, of course, are going to be watching, they do it every single year, is Kayvon Allen. He's leading the team in scoring as of right now with 10.3 points a game. And it seems like that Arkansas, whenever they go up against a player that's from their state, especially in basketball, it ends up being that player's game of their life. Kayvon Allen not only has been there at Florida, he's a senior, which is surprising for a lot of people of how he's been there for so long, but what type of game are you expecting out of him, and what type of player has he been this year to get some, where they have to get some more consistency out of him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kayvon's been a guy who, when Arkansas plays Florida, Kayvon Allen is his best. And, I think that's just the case for a lot of guys when they play their home state team. But, you know, Kayvon's a guy who, like I said, Mike White's kind of looking for consistency out of. And, you know, it's Kayvon Allen of old a little bit, where when Kayvon's hot, he's hot. And when Kayvon's cold, he's cold. And that's the biggest thing that, and I think a lot of Gator fans were expecting his senior year, was more consistency out of Kayvon. And, you know, in the South Carolina game, for instance, he started off 2 for 2, and then he goes cold for the rest of the game. And but again, it seems like Kayvon plays his best basketball against Arkansas, but if the Gators are going to turn around the season, they really need Kayvon to be more consistent. And I think most people, including myself, would like to see Kayvon take it to the rim a little bit. Kayvon's a great free throw shooter, one of the best of all time at Florida, but doesn't seem to trust himself inside the three-point line. And I think that would be the biggest thing, and I think that's something that will translate for him well at the next level if he's able to get there.
What's your perspective on the league? It's a different SEC this year, where Kentucky's normally the team to beat and the team that's considered far and away oftentimes the number one team in the league. This year it's Tennessee, it's Auburn, it's perhaps Mississippi State before you get to Kentucky. What's your perspective on this year's Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more parity. And I think that's something that, you know, we've all been talking about and all been looking for. You know, I think from the commissioner all the way to ADs and the SEC, they've been looking for parity. And, you know, we've seen that with the non-conference schedule overall. And, you know, I think it's good for us. Basketball. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's good to see, you know, Tennessee at the top or see Auburn at the top, see different guys at the top. You know, last year Alabama was a team that was, you know, on the top, so not as good this year, but I think it's good for college basketball not to have Kentucky. I mean, of course, you want that blue blood of the SEC to always be good, but I think it's good to have more parity and to see the, you know, the top 25 still with different teams in the SEC, and you know, especially a year when a team like Florida, who consistently is in the top 25, is down.
Now, one of the questions I'm also curious about, and I like to ask from different perspectives around the SEC, is when a team is coming into Bud Walton Arena for Arkansas, it always seems like it's, of course, one of the most difficult places to play in the conference, if not the country. But it also seems like certain teams may not be afraid of it. Florida coming into Bud Walton Arena to take on Arkansas, does that factor into it as far as, this was probably a game you're not going to win? Or what's kind of the mentality from an outsider's perspective about Bud Walton Arena and the home court advantage for the Hogs?
One of the toughest places to play in basketball. And that's something we all talk about down here in Gainesville, and that's something Mike White talks about. You know, it's an atmosphere that's different, and it's an atmosphere that when you go into that arena, you know, you expect to win because everyone expects to win, but it's a game that also you know is going to be a tough game, and Florida struggled there. I mean, that's a big, big key. And I think it kind of goes back to your question a second ago about the SEC, and that is that the home court environment in the SEC has turned into a special, special place. And, you know, I always go back to Bud Walton Arena as being one of the first ones that kind of created that atmosphere. Bud Walton and Kentucky and Gainesville are all three environments. So when I look at the SEC, I think tough home court advantage.
Last one for what you get out of here, Andrew. Just looking at the game tonight between the Gators and the Hogs, what do you think is going to happen this game? Is it going to be a close one? Do you see Florida getting the edge? Just what's your overall thoughts and opinions about tonight?
you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Arkansas win double digits in the game. I do think that you'll see Florida come out with a little bit more intensity after Mike White kind of called them out a little bit on Monday. But for me, the key of the game is Florida can have those long stretches, especially in an environment like Bud Walton. If Florida has a stretch where it's 5, 6, 7 minutes of no offense, this game will get ugly quick. I think you'll see a good defensive game from Florida, but it all depends on offense. The offense will determine whether Florida, win this game or not, or keep this game close. And I know that's kind of cliche to say, you've got to score points, but for Florida, it's just those droughts. You can't have those droughts.
Yeah, it should be a great matchup between these two teams. I know both of them need them pretty desperately, especially early in SEC play, so it should make for a great matchup. Andrew Spivey of GatorCountry.com. Really appreciate you joining us as always, Andrew, man. Great stuff. Have fun tonight. We'll catch up with you later down the road, my man.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
This is just one more way Washington Regional is working to improve health care for you and your family. All the details online at WRegional.com.
All right, so without further ado, let's go ahead and get right into it.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, I'll go ahead and kick us off here. Again, this is my favorite segment because I could go a bunch of different directions. But the thing that I'm beeping with today is last night, I get home from a workout and eat dinner and all that stuff. And I'm hanging out with Camille. And I'm waiting until President Trump's address to the nation. And so that was at 8 o'clock is when it was going to be official. So I told her, I was like, hey, do you mind if I just watch this at 8 o'clock? I want to see what all kind of happens. She said, that's fine. But hey, do you mind before then, though, if I finish my episode of The Bachelor? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'll go ahead and I'll start working on some show prep while that happens. And then, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That works. Whatever. And she starts to play it. And it's in the background or whatever. And I'm focused on my work. And then I find myself being distracted from my work watching The Bachelor. Now, I was not watching it because I was so infatuated and intrigued by just how entertaining and interesting the show is.
You were looking at the women, weren't you?
I wasn't even doing that, if you can believe it.
No, I don't believe it.
The reason I was watching it is because of how ridiculous that show is and how cringeworthy and uncomfortable and awkward that show is. Where there's cheesy pickup lines, there's cheesy flirting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cheese fest. Everything's cheesy. Mm. And so I'm watching this, and I think back, and I'm like, wait a minute. This show has been on the air for like 20 years.
It seems like it, yeah.
And it hasn't changed the format. It's still the same thing. You hand out roses to see who's going to advance in the tournament of roses. I think that's what
we need to do a bracket.
Yeah, I mean, Mel Kiper.
Hey, Mel Kiper Jr. is really into this. He breaks on his weekend show here on he breaks it down.
There's a
on ESPN Radio.
There's a lot of sports guys that are really into this show, and I'm watching it. And I'm like, listen,
It's mental recess.
I get it. I get the fact that it's entertaining because if you don't take it as reality, if you don't take it as what it's supposed to be, if you just take it kind of more as a joke, you could probably find some entertainment in that, but I can't do that. So I'm watching this, and I am sitting there, like, getting triggered. Like, I am getting offended by the fact that this is a television show that so many people watch, that so many people are into, that they even have fantasy leagues based on The Bachelor. I don't get it. But it's one of the most popular shows in the entire country.
and the format doesn't change. It's like, you know what's set up? He gives roses to the good girls that everyone wants to win, but also he's got to give them to the villains because there has to be a villain.
Oh, you think there's a script?
Yeah, I know that's crazy to think about.
It's not all by the heart?
Apparently and it's not real.
Who he's falling in love with?
Right there on the show in front of everybody on national television? And apparently this Bachelor, the big thing about him is that he's a virgin? So apparently that's the big storyline that goes into it? And it's just like, I can't believe that, because it's not like it's a 30-minute show. It's like a two-hour show every Monday night. And people are into this. And it's just, I don't understand it.
You know who we need to get to do The Bachelor, based on what you brought up a minute
Tyler
ago?
Tyler Wilson?
Tim Tebow.
You think that'd be entertaining?
Perhaps.
It might be. I don't know how that would go.
Didn't Jesse Palmer already do it? Or
he was kind of that's where he got his main start.
Yep.
I know people didn't really know him for the Florida quarterback. He's more known for The Bachelor.
That's exactly right.
I know. And that's
now he's still
known,
married that girl?
Now he's known. I don't think. Does any of these people actually get married?
Yeah, some of them do. But do you think it's
real?
I
wonder, out of, you said there's been 20 of them?
Something like that. It's been going on
since
like
early
2000s.
Okay, there's been 20. I wonder how many of them, A, actually got married, and B, are still married. I'm going to guess the answer is zero.
I feel like
it's not true. I'll look up that. I know.
I bet say maybe the guy from last year, they're still married if they got married. So I don't know. But I would say there's more that are not married than are married.
Still married today.
Yeah, we may have to look this up, do some research on the tie. But again,
I'm going to put the over-under at 1.5. I'm taking the under.
But why is this show so popular? Why?
Because it appeals to the ladies because the story of love.
But it's not.
And it appeals to the men because there's hot women on the show.
But it's so not. It's just cheese fest. Like, how do you get...
It's scripted.
I can't deal with
that, man. It's just another version of WWE.
Yes. But at least at WWE, somebody you think you get, like, has, like, funny lines.
There's 15 that are still together, Bachelor and Bachelorette.
15.
But there's a lot more like that.
Of the Bachelor and Bachelorette show?
Yeah, combined. So that are still together.
So that would be 15 out of 40?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm surprised the number's that high.
Well, this is actually a little late because I thought Kalen Bristow broke up with Sean Booth. So this now 14, unless something's changed.
So the number's going down as we speak.
Yeah. And again, like in here, and the thing on this Bachelor is that there is a girl, and I know you guys played this, Ty, on your show, but there's a girl that made up an accent. She says she's got an Australian accent, and she doesn't.
She's got to stand out, Tommy.
Apparently, that's how she's going to stand out, is an
Australian
accent.
Get out of the pile,
yeah. So, anyways, that's my beef. It's just people who watch this show, people who get into this show, people who are all about this show.
Oh, it's
no
wild.
Thanks.
It's wild. Like,
it's a fairy tale.
But it's entertaining. Like, it's entertaining
it's
enough
drama.
To watch.
That's what, I don't know where it changed in our society, but it did at some point. I think MTV started this, and then Survivor was next.
Yeah.
And then it just went downhill from there. MTV kind of had the original reality shows.
Yeah, it was Real World. And I used to watch it. But now it's like, that's nothing but reality shows.
Right. But now, that's exactly right. TV is nothing but reality shows because we as Americans love drama. And what is the common denominator in all of these shows? Conflict and drama. Whether it's Survivor, whether it's Big Brother,
it's not real.
Whether it's The Bachelor, and most of it is contrived conflict.
Yes, but it's just, and
that's
what frustrates me.
That's at the root of all of these shows.
And notice how all of them are just like extremely good looking because sex sells.
Well, yeah, they're not gonna get any ugly people on
the
there.
The only true reality show left on TV that's true reality is like Deadliest Catch.
Yeah, like stuff they're actually out there where the animals aren't on the reality show. They're not in on the script.
And they still contrive drama between the boats and the captains and the crews and all to make it interesting.
I don't care what anybody says. The best show that was a reality show was Fear Factor because that stuff was real. When people are eating bugs and all that stuff. But it was at least real.
Yeah.
I at least gave it credit for that. Like, you couldn't fake that stuff. So, but if you're out there and you watch it, and obviously there's a lot of sports fans that watch it, that's fine. I'm out on The Bachelor. I can't do it. I can't. It's too cringeworthy for me. I'm out. That's my beef for today.
All right. I'm going to go a little more sports related.
Probably a good.
All these Alabama fans, even in defeat, have to tell you how they're better than everybody else, even though they're in defeat. I read a handful, it wasn't a lot, of Twitter and Facebook posts that went something like this.
Even in defeat, we as Alabama fans give credit to the opponent, don't make excuses for losing, and don't blame the refs. We're better than you, even in defeat. RTR.
I mean, just take your tail whipping and move on.
Nope, can't do that.
Don't point out that even after we got our tails whipped, we're still better than you because
we're not whining and complaining and saying there was holding on every play. Roll Tide.
I mean, I this was something that just was irritating to me yesterday.
That's all over the place, man.
From people out there that, you know,
we're not going to cry about it. We're Alabama.
Okay.
We're still better than you.
I bet. I bet.
RTR.
What if they don't win it next year? What if they go 2 years without winning a national
championship?
I'm kind
of rooting for that now. I wanted Saban. I wanted to say I'd seen the coach that had won more national titles than anybody. Now I'm kind of rooting for the other way just to see more of this meltdown. I was listening to Feinbaum last night. The calls were hilarious.
Oh, man.
Well, Paul, outstanding. He needs to fire everybody. It's clearly not Saban's fault. It's all them assistants. He needs to fire Mike Locksley, too. Isn't he the head coach in Maryland? He needs to fire him before he goes. Don't even let him go back to Tuscaloosa to pack his truck.
That's how people are, man. They don't care. It's just like there has to be some type of extreme change made for Alabama. And they're the
best. We're not going to whine about it. We're not going to say they were holding on every play, even though they were holding on every down, Paul.
Yep. It's the referee's fault. It was propaganda by NCAA. They just got tired of Alabama winning it
and
all.
I agree with this to a point, but the other point, I mean, you got beat by 28.
Well, there were only about three plays in the game that made the difference. The two fourth downs and the fake field goal. If you don't have that, it's a nine-point game. Well, you still lose.
Sorry to break it to you.
And it's true. If they convert the two fourth downs and score, I mean, it could be a different game. I get it, but take your tail whip and quit trying to tell everybody how you're still better than everybody else and move on.
Yeah. No, I'm – I had to turn it off.
One of them likes to say, kiss the ring.
Yes. Like, you're still going to have the Bama guys at SEC Media Days with the rings on their head, even though, you know, it's the ridiculousness is still going to be there.
And can we beef about the weather a little bit?
Yeah, this sucks, man.
No, it's great. 60-something degrees. Why can't we keep this? No, I'm listening to the forecast 20 minutes ago here on the station. 15
sleet and snow this weekend.
Why can't we have the sleet and snow now and the 70 degrees this weekend? Can we pick and choose?
That's not what God wants for you, Tommy. He's testing you. Don't you know?
Yeah.
Mother Nature. All that fun stuff. No, I'd rather have it to where we don't have any nice days in January because I get so used to it. And I'm like,
I'm telling you, my gosh,
I want spring so bad. And then when it doesn't get here, it makes it even longer.
This recent 60s and 70 degree. We've had some 70 degree days.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but it's got me itching for lake season already.
By the way, when do we get our key for your lake house?
Already gave him out.
He
did. Did I get yours?
No, I haven't gotten mine yet.
He doesn't.
I'll get back with you on that.
No, cool. Listen, he doesn't give out keys.
No, it's biometric.
He gives out the code.
It's biometric eye scans and fingerprints and
you got
DNA
get,
samples.
Yeah,
it's a very high secure place. We've built the wall there. We didn't get it right down on the border, but we do have a wall around the lake house.
That's immoral, Tommy, you jerk. Well, here's the thing.
Hey, because I love the people on the inside.
And it's not that you hate the people on
no,
the outside.
No.
Yeah, give us the gate code. We'll just take the gate code. We'll get into your house in some other way. Just give us the gate code and we'll make it work.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.